Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Andrea McLean.
And I'm Nick Feeney.
And between us, we have had five marriages.
Four children.
Three divorces.
And two dogs.
Richer, poorer, in sickness and in health, in work and play, through menopause meltdowns.
And teenage tantrums.
It is love, laughter, friendship.
And a good night's sleep.
That keeps us going.
We're not experts in this.
No.
And we are crashing through midlife ourselves. But the reason we're doing this is so actually we can share the challenges, but also bring in experts to help us and hopefully help you as we try and master midlife.
That is the whole crux of this podcast, is trying to master midlife, because there's so many different challenges that you go through when you reach this stage of life. You know, you'd think by the time you get halfway through, not halfway done, you have figured stuff out. You know what you are doing. But actually, no. The rules change. The rug gets pulled out from underneath you. You know, I saw this brilliant meme yesterday on social media, and it said, I thought being a grown-up meant that there would be sort of drama after drama, but I would build up the mental resistance to be able to cope with it. No, it's not. It's all the dramas happening consecutively and all at once, and they just keep going. And I thought, that is correct. That is absolutely correct.
It is so true, isn't it? Your grip just gets better.
Yes.
You just hold on, right?
You just hold on. So, you know, I love a theme.
Yes.
So I thought we could...
What is our theme?
Our theme today is sleep. It's sleep, because it's almost like the final frontier, isn't it? Sleep, the final frontier. And I thought we could come at it from a whole load of different angles. I thought I'd call today's episode Sleeping on It.
Nice.
Yeah.
See what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I thought we could start off by this whole idea of whether it is a good idea or a bad idea to go to bed on an argument. Because, you know, they say never go to bed on an argument. What are your thoughts?
Do you know what? I think it depends how close to bedtime that argument happens, right?
Okay.
Because if it's like at tea time, then you've got a bit of time to sort of settle down and, you know, maybe think things through and then go back and talk it when you're both feeling calmer.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like, I don't know, while you're brushing your teeth.
Right.
There is not a big window of opportunity for that to get settled, is there?
No.
You know, so, I mean, listen, I would not like to go to bed knowing that me and you are not cool.
Mm-hmm.
We have done in the past.
Yep.
And it's not great.
Nope.
And it's, I think it's one of the most, what's the word? Just uncomfortable feelings in a relationship when you are sharing a bed with someone that you love and yet you are so disconnected from them at that moment because of an argument, because of a moment. And it could be something so stupid, but it doesn't matter. You are laying there in the pitch black knowing that you are thinking things, they are also thinking things, and it's not great, but no one's speaking. So I think for that alone is why I don't like it. I'd rather just say, I'm sorry. Get it.
That's not true. No, that is not
no,
true.
I rather would. But now living in that moment right now is like, but we, like I said, we have been there. And like, and I am the one sitting there.
Not saying
the
sorry.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's why I, excuse my outburst, but that was why, because I can't sit here and let you talk such utter bollocks. Because you don't, you are, no, you, well, if, that, you, if you're really firm on something, then yeah. There's no way that you would just for the sake of a good night's sleep go, I'm sorry. But that's an interesting thing as well, in that you know, you might say, oh, don't go to bed in an argument. So maybe apologize before you go to bed. But both of you know, regardless as to who said it, that it's not real. And actually, well, I mean, we're kind of veering off territory here, but an I'm sorry, but is not an apology.
That is not an apology.
And also, just saying sorry to end it is also not resolving it. Mm. And actually, that can make me even more angry because it's not resolved the thing.
Well, I think that leads on to a totally other conversation that we've had before is about, you know, how you argue.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Because I'm like a, we're done. And
yes.
You're like a, no, we're not. You know, I want to keep going. I'm going to chase you around because I want to get it resolved.
No, you don't want to get it resolved. You no, just want
you,
it to stop.
This is what I'm saying. You right, say, right. You know. You,
I think you're getting an idea as to how we argue.
I'm well aware that I want it to stop. Like right now, we could just move on. That would be great.
But no, that is it. Maybe we could unpack that a little bit, actually. I know we had a little chat about it just before, about how we argue. But actually, that maybe this could be a good time to unpack it. Because I know that this whole idea is about the idea of going to bed on an argument about whether it's a good or bad idea and this whole thing of sleeping on it, you know. But it also does depend on how you argue, because if both of you are similar and you're both of a type that you're both like, do you know what? Let's just draw a line under this, and both sides are okay with that, then yes, you can go to bed and it's fine. But if one of you isn't, then that isn't going to work.
I think it's such a big conversation because everyone has their own way of arguing. We all have our style of arguing.
We do.
And the thing is, you're trying to then be rational when you are heightened in all your senses,
mm-hmm.
You know, especially if the fuck off and die one, right? Where you just...
Excuse me?
Just please fuck off and die.
Oh, so that's a level. Is that like a...
I believe it's a level.
Is that like whoop,
I think it's one of the most severe ones, like DEFCON 4, 5, whatever it is. But the point is, you're trying to be rational in one of your most irrational states.
Yeah.
Let alone trying to then remind yourself that, oh yes, hang on, they have a very different style to me uh-huh. on how we argue. So, you know, maybe we could get an expert in to actually have a conversation on another podcast and really unpack that.
What about the different styles of arguing?
Yeah, you know, and what you can do. You know, I know that when we had some relationship coaching, so the reason that you start getting irrational and everything starts building up is because your monkey part of the brain, the amygdala, starts going, because it's your fight, flight, freeze or fawn. And that, again, those four things alone will impact your argument style.
Yeah.
And but then it all becomes very much, you know, primal. And when you get into that part of an argument, i.e. the conversation now becomes a debate. I'm right. No, you're right. No, I'm right. You know, and all it becomes about is who's right mm-hmm. or who has to say sorry first and all that. You're not thinking from the right part of the brain, which is the front part of the brain, the emotional part. And when we were having our conversation with our relationship coach, she said, now, when you realize when you get to this point, you should have a safe word. And so we thought it'd be funny to use amygdala. Because that's the one that's causing all the trouble, right?
Well, that came about because I interviewed an amazing a neuroscientist, and she said that that's the safe word that she uses with her husband, and I thought I'd copy her.
So we thought we'd use that. The trouble is, fast forward to when you actually have one of those situations, and so you're raising, mm-hmm. you're getting to a point that the conversation is now a debate, and it's an argument. And I remember the first time... Then we did it. And I've gone amygdala. You've gone, fuck off. Because you were so pissed off that I said it first. I mean, it did actually break the ice. And it sorted the argument out. But again, if you've got two people that, and then someone goes, safe word, whatever it is, you're like, I think it would just
infuriate
you.
I've gone very hot now. I've gone really hot.
I think it would infuriate you even more like it did us. But that said, it also made us laugh as well and sort of eased it. So, yeah. But like I said, I think that's a whole conversation.
That is a whole other thing. Actually, we'll do that. We'll revisit that.
So factually then, yeah. Are they saying it is good to sleep on it or not good to sleep on it?
Well, you know, obviously the whole saying is that, you know, never go to bed on an argument. So basically I did some research because, you know, I love doing a little bit of research. And so I've got arguments for and against, actually. You know, in my other life.
Creativity in that.
Yeah. No, so when, why not to go to bed on an argument? So this is interesting. So the disagreement can linger. Mm. So basically you're just delaying the inevitable and you might end up kind of, you know, winding yourself up and you know, make it even worse. This bit I found really interesting is because apparently all the thoughts that are, you know, mulling around your head. Now, we know this from a coaching perspective and also from a trying to think positively and if you're trying to manifest a great future and this kind of thing, that the thoughts that you go to sleep on, mm-hmm. your brain ruminates on those mm-hmm. overnight. And we've often spoken about this between us in terms of a positive impact, but I didn't realize that actually it can have a negative impact as well. Mm. So if you're going to bed on an argument and you're lying there, I love you, but I really don't like you, that kind of thing, mm. You're solidifying that emotion and that argument into your head. So when you get up the next day, that's now rock solid. Mm. And it can be harder to shift. So
you know what? Someone messaged me on socials today, actually, and said, do you wake up with a good mindset or a strong goal? And I thought that was a really great question. And I said, but actually, I said, for me, it's all about the mindset. I said, but it starts the night before. Mm. And the reason it starts the night before is exactly that reason. We start programming ourselves, you know, for the day that we want the next day. So me and you asking our questions that we go through, and one of them being, what is it that you're looking forward to tomorrow? You talk about something that excites you, and then
proving
you go
I'm
to
right.
bed. You go to bed thinking about that thing.
Yes.
And then you wake up the next day excited for that thing. So again, if you flip that and you're pissed off with your partner and you're laying there, it's fair to say that you're going to mull on that, even when you're sleeping. And I think this is an interesting comment as well when it comes to sleep. People think that sleep is passive, that you don't do anything. You are as busy when you're sleeping, doing all amazing things in your brain, in your body, in your gut, all over the place. You just don't know about it. But it is not passive. You are not a light switch. Well, I am.
You are. We'll come to that in a moment.
You turn off and that's it.
Yeah.
There is so much going on. And I think that's something to remember.
So that's one of the arguments for, you know, why you shouldn't go to bed on an argument. And basically it can build up and it can make it worse the next day. Mm. But on the side of it is okay to go to bed on an argument, and it touches on some of the things that you mentioned earlier, when something can't easily be resolved. So if it's something that can be worked through, then stick at it, absolutely. But if it's something that is much bigger, and, you know, we're very open about the fact we have a blended family. We there's all kinds of different dynamics that happen in our family. So sometimes when there is conflict, the issues are really big. So it's not just something that you can go, oh, well, it's fine. You know what? We'll go to bed. No, they need to be talked through and they need to be sorted out. Sometimes it's bigger than the moment. And why it can be good to sleep on it, as it were, is sometimes you can wake up actually feeling calmer. So I know that goes totally 180 against what we said about your negative feelings can become cemented and solidified. If you're tired, you're not thinking clearly. If you're too emotional, you're not thinking rationally because emotions are too high. Also, if you've had alcohol, everybody knows, I mean, oh my goodness, you just look how people behave on a Friday and Saturday night. You know that alcohol is the cause of most of the rucks that are happening, you know. So if that's a factor, just sleep on it, because hopefully you'll be thinking a little bit more clearly. And then the final one is, and this is really interesting, if the thing that you're arguing about has moved away from what the real issue is, when it's become, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this,
and you always,
that is just that. Then it's time to, you know, do you know what? Let it lie, and we'll come at this from a rather more practical point of view. It's interesting, isn't it?
It is, but I totally get it, you know. And again, going back to like, if everything's heightened and you go to bed when everything's heightened, you're very likely going to feel it in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, if you've calmed down and you've gone to bed, but you've not said sorry, it's more likely that you're going to feel better the next morning, you know, because you're not stewing on it. And just think about it logically. If you're laying there and you've just had an argument and you're effing and jeffing in your head and you're saying things and playing things through that prove your point, it's fair to say that you're not going to feel great in the morning. But if you start sitting there and reflecting and start going, do you know what? Maybe I could have done that bit better. Maybe actually.
Who does that?
Well, you know.
Nobody does that. When they go to bed on an argument, no
you,
one.
You say that, you know, I would argue.
I tried to say it, but he interrupted.
I would argue because... When you, we've said this before, when you're in a couple, when you're in a relationship, you have to work. You have to work on it. There's a huge amount of awareness in that relationship for it to work. You know what someone else's, you know, pressure points are and all those bits and pieces, right? But also you know your own. If you're honest with yourself, you know when you're being a bit of a dick, right? And I just think that it's like anything. What outcome do you want from this? Do you want to be right in that argument or do you want a happy relationship? And sometimes, you know, you have to look at that bigger picture as to what it is. You can't do that when you're fired up. But when you start calming down, you know, you build that reflection, that awareness into who you are and what you do throughout any part of your life, then I think it will serve you better.
Do you know one of the things, you know, just before we move on, one of the things that I found really helpful is writing it down, because I do think that you need to release in some kind of way before you go to sleep or before you move on with your day. And I think that writing it down, even if it's in a journal, fine. If it's in the notes section of your phone, fine. But get it all out. Write down all the all that sort of stuff, no matter how you want to spell it. Write down all the things that you feel really aggrieved about. And get it out. And what's interesting is the next day when you pick that up, you'll look at it and you'll either think, absolutely right, no, I was really right to feel those things, or you'll read it and go, I'm so glad I didn't say that out loud, because actually, do you know what? I was overreacting and I got the wrong end of the stick. And so your brain has almost had the release of having the argument because you've written it down. But then the next day you can look at it quite sensibly.
But there's a lot of science around that, isn't it? About letting it out.
Yes, yeah.
Whether you just say it, write it, you know, but just letting it out. There's a lot of science around that.
But it's also, it's a safe way to do it, because then you haven't really offended the other person by saying all the really, really mean things that are in your head.
I'm going to hunt that book. I'm going to see what that book says.
You'll never find that book. It's like Mission Impossible. It just self-destructs after every time. Now, moving on. One of the things that is really infuriating, regardless as to whether you've gone to bed at night fuming, if you've gone to bed fuming and the other person just falls asleep instantly, that's grounds for divorce instantly. How dare you just fall asleep when I'm lying here? Absolutely fuming and stupid. Do you not care about this as much as I do? We know that's, you know, that is a fact. Actually, I say we, I know, because you don't know, because I'm talking about you. You literally get into bed. It doesn't matter if you've gone to bed raging or utterly calm. It's like you're a robot and someone presses power down and you're asleep in seconds.
Well, I do have a little bit of a routine, though,
yes, you do.
Before I go to bed, though, don't I?
You do. You do have a routine.
And I won't talk you through all every aspect of it, because you know most of it. But there is a part we do laugh about a lot, is when I get into bed.
Well, after you've done your 6 minutes and your planks and your press-ups and things.
Done my nighttime routine, and all those bits and pieces, prepared myself for the next day. I'm laying in bed. It's pitch black. And I summon you over, don't I? You have to come over. You have to lay on me. Give me a little cuddle.
I don't lay on you. I put my head on your shoulder. Give you a little cuddle. And not in the biblical sense. Literally just head on shoulder. Bit of a cuddle. I'm literally your teddy bear at night.
Yeah.
And every night you literally say, you're coming over, which means I am literally moving over to your side of the bed. And then I have to lay there until...
And then I say, right, you can go now.
No, I have to lay there until you get sleepy.
Yeah, which doesn't take long.
But the terrible thing is I move over and I'm like, oh, should we chat about this, that and that? And you're literally, shh, stop talking.
How many times have I actually... falling asleep mid-conversation.
Maybe.
I mean, and I'm the one speaking.
Yes.
I said something and then all of a sudden I'm like, did I fall asleep then?
And then you say those romantic words.
You can go now.
I literally have to just get off and go back to my side of the bed. At what point, you're fast asleep, I'm wide awake because I've not been comfortable for the past 10 minutes. My neck's all cricked. And then I have to lay there. And then what happens is I end up then ruminating and going over the whole day. And this is interesting from a male and female perspective. I end up going over all the things that I think I've done wrong that day, or that I didn't achieve, how I failed, all the things. My mind goes to that place. Meanwhile, you've gone, I'm awesome and good night. You're asleep. It's so funny.
It works for me.
It works for you. And also, what is nice, because now obviously we've been together for, is it 9 or 10 years? I never know. We met 10 years ago. We've been together 9.
Yes.
Yeah. And now you don't sleep perched so far on the furthest edge of the bed as if you cannot get far enough away from me. You've now moved a little in. So I'm really flattered by that.
Which progress, nice. Babe.
Progress. I know, but stay on your side of the bed.
Damn right.
Okay. So I thought we could talk about sleep issues. So obviously we've talked about, you know, not going to bed on an argument. There was this article that I read in the papers this week, and it is about when you have to fight to get a good night's sleep. And the reason for that is because we all know that, you know, we talk about it. I call it the three-legged stool in terms of what keeps your brain functioning healthily. And it is the three habits of sleep, movement, and food. And what's fascinating is we are all entitled to a good night's sleep, but we don't always get a good night's sleep because our partner, whoever it is that we sleep next to, has different routines or different ways of sleeping than we do. So I thought I'd go through a list of the most common sort of problems that people have in terms of getting a good night's sleep. Some of them affect us, some of them don't, okay. And just get your thoughts on it. So the first one is snoring. Most common. The most common. Why are you looking at that? I know why you're looking at that.
What's the question?
So the problem is snoring. What would you say the solution to that would be? I'm going all hot again because I know what you're going to say.
I just say, Andrea, wake up. You're snoring. Give you a little prod and you turn over.
I know, because it's
that's
me.
That's my solution.
It's me that snores.
Oh, my God.
That's so bad.
But you wake yourself up sometimes.
I do. It's so funny because I used to live with a snorer, and it was bad. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, we were in separate rooms for a long time because, you know, for most of the relationship, because the snoring was so bad. We had people complain if we stayed in a hotel, people moving hotel rooms. It was that bad. So to find out that actually I snore as well, it's quite a shock. Quite ladylike. How can I snore at night? It's terrible.
You don't do it every night. And that's great.
Yes.
You know, but I think that's what just makes it even funnier when you do it. And 9 times out of 10, I've done my little routine. I'm gone.
Yes.
I can't hear.
That's true.
Right. But just now and then, you'll have a little, I don't know what happens. It's like... I think you choke yourself or something. Could it go? It goes. It's like
so awful. I'm
and all
so
of a sudden,
sorry.
I'm like waking up, going, "What the hell is that?"
And it's me.
And there you are, just having a moment. So yes, that's
so
the solution.
No, yeah. You haven't given the solution. You've just
well, I did.
Oh, you just tapped
Andrea.
Andrea,
You're snoring, stop.
Okay, but anybody listening to this who isn't sleeping with an Andrea, say their name, because that could be really awkward.
Big trouble.
Yeah, big trouble. But apparently the solution is to try and get them to sleep on their side. I say them, because clearly we're not talking about me anymore, using extra pillows, etc. So, you know, and it says here, the don't fight with them. Don't lay there and rage. What is said at 2 a.m. stays at 2 a.m. You're not in your best state. Your frontal lobe isn't fully activated and you will be reacting almost primally. I find that really interesting because you don't snore, you click.
Mm.
Any idea how annoying a clicking is? A clicking is like it's like a dripping tap, because once you hear it, you're like, what's that noise? That's the noise Nick makes. Oh my God, he's clicking. And then it doesn't go into like a drum, like a routine that then it can kind of lull you back to sleep. No, it's slightly erratic and not quite in time. So what then happens is you're going, oh, there it is. It is literally like a dripping tap. So I liked this bit about don't fight with them. Don't lie there and rage. What is said at 2 a.m. stays at 2 a.m. because you're not thinking clearly. So, but I do the same. I just get you to roll over. So whether it's clicking or whether it is snoring, don't rage, just get them to roll over. Okay, next problem, larks and night owls. So that's people who obviously, some people really like to stay up really late, some people like to go to bed really early. I won't say who it is, but someone very close to us, their relationship, he likes to go to bed super late, like 3 a.m, really late. She likes to be in bed by sort of 10:30. And they've kind of got used to it. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I know who you're talking about, and I don't think that's healthy. I like how we are. You know, there are times that you want to go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
And there's times that I want to go to bed earlier, and I know that either of those times when you go to bed earlier or me, neither of us actually sleep well.
No, I'm waiting
for
you.
Person's
it's like you're out.
Bed.
It's the craziest thing. It's like you're out, and I'm worried about you getting home, and you're literally just going upstairs.
Well, you know, treacherous stairs.
To be fair, I have fallen down them, as have you.
But thankfully, we are very similar, as is our dog. He tells us when it's bedtime as well. And I think, you know, again, that is really helpful for us, but I don't think I could live with someone that was the opposite ends.
Okay.
You know, I just think that's just such a difficult thing. So what are they saying you
should
do?
So apparently one of the solutions is, and I think this is quite sweet actually, is to try and kind of meet in the middle, because obviously all relationships, it's about communication and it is about compromise. Mm-hmm. So trying to find some kind of middle ground. So however, what they have said is it is normally easier for the person who stays up later to adjust their bedtime than it is the person who normally goes to bed earlier. Because you know what it's like. Once you start falling asleep, it's hot, your legs start twitching and all that. It's harder to stay awake. So if you can find a compromise, then that's great. But if you absolutely are at opposite ends of the scale, again, I find this so sweet because it reminded me of when the kids were little. The person who likes to stay up later, you go upstairs with the earlier person, do all the normal bedtime routines, you know, the getting ready for bed. And then you actually get into bed and lay there, a bit like what you do, right? Come over. Okay, you can go now. And then once the other person is pretty much near sleep, you can get up and go back downstairs.
Yeah.
And then there's a kind of, oh, right, okay, we've done our routine together. But also then it makes it easier because then you've done your teeth brushing and all the things. You can just slide into bed.
Yeah, I think that's a respectful thing as well, because if you're like, if you share an ensuite bathroom and you're clanging around like 2 hours later doing your thing, turning a light on and everything, that's not cool.
Saying, hey, Siri, set an alarm for 6 minutes while you're doing a plank on the floor. And I'm literally like, what is going on? Oh, so my Siri's come on.
If you have another request, you don't need to say Siri before you ask it.
Just cancel.
Thank
Siri.
Thank you. Cancel.
Always listening.
Oh, we found something on the web. Thank you. Stop.
I think the only other thing to consider as well when someone goes to bed late at night and you're the opposite is, do they get up late? Because if all the chaos is in the morning, getting like the children ready and things like that, and they're still in bed, that's to me again is no. You know, you want to go to bed late, that's cool. But life in this house starts at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be part of that.
Okay. So the next one is, oh, I love this, a duvet and a space stealer. So obviously this is, and we have this conversation every morning, there appears to be duvet theft. And normally...
It's equal.
It's quite equal.
Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me.
But yeah, someone, you know, stealing the duvet or someone who starfishes and takes up loads and loads of space. So we have a super king sized bed, which is brilliant because it's like a mattress each. And I like that because then it means obviously you're heavier than me, so I don't feel it when you roll over. But we have enough space to kind of spread out a little bit.
We call it international waters, don't we?
We do call it international waters because you can feel the ridge of the mattress in between. It's like, do not cross that line. Do not. That's international waters. You're now coming into my territory. Bugger off, basically. What I found interesting in terms of the solution for this one, if every night you are doing the duvet tussle, is get one each. Just get a duvet each. Again, I've done this before in previous relationships with someone who didn't just take the duvet. They rolled up in it like Colin the Caterpillar cake. It was quite hilarious. And so I'd end up with nothing. So I just bought myself a duvet. And when you make the bed, you just lay them both on top of each other and it's fine. Yeah, and then you have your own duvet.
If you're fighting like that, I mean, our requirements are so minimal. And like, there's certain times that we get up in the mornings like we haven't bloody moved.
No.
You know, so thankfully we don't have to deal with that.
Okay. Next one, noise, light and phones. As in someone who likes to go to bed listening to something or having the telly on or that kind of thing.
Well, Amy, she can't go to sleep without having Modern Family on. I mean, goodness me, as she gets older and she starts getting boyfriends and things like that, you think, good luck.
I know.
I mean, she does. The couple of boyfriends she's had... She has actually converted them into watching Modern Family. So who knows?
Maybe, well, obviously they don't sleep over because she's not of that age. But yes.
Yeah. But no, it's... I go on my phone more of an evening in bed than you do. But that's because you spend more time in the bathroom doing all your stuff.
Yep. It's a routine.
I'm super quick.
This doesn't happen all by itself.
And then I'll watch some like just stuff that makes me laugh. And then sometimes you come and join me. And we watch a bit of that. We'll have a good old giggle. And then we're like, put the phone down. But
yeah,
I think for us, yeah. It doesn't actually matter that little light and that. You got into reading lately.
Yeah.
And you did have to get yourself a smaller light because the light that you were having on was like too bright, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I got one of these little clip-on reading light things because I'm just trying to have good sleep hygiene. So it's a nice, obviously nice and dark, trying not to have as much screen time and all this kind of thing. But also I have broken you. When we first met, this didn't even occur to you. And I remember, obviously this is many, many years ago, but the first time like staying over at your house, I could not sleep. One, because you're so far away, because you're doing that thing of sleeping right on the edge of the bed. And it's like, you invited me here. Why are you so far away? But also, it was too quiet because I sleep with a fan on 365 nights a year.
Like an Andrea.
Yeah, just Andrea. That's it.
It's like your fan.
I do. I like it. Yeah, is that weird? No, a fan, like an electric fan. And for me, it's because of my childhood. I grew up overseas and there was always a fan on in the room because it was hot. And now I can't sleep without the noise of a fan on. So
neither can I.
And now I've broken
that
you.
That white noise is just exceptional.
It's so good.
If you do struggle with sleeping, get yourself a fan. It has to be a fairly noisy fan, not too quiet. Get some white noise and I'll tell you what, put up with it for the first couple of days because you'll be like, oh, I can't sleep with this. Then you won't be able to sleep without it.
It works so well because if the person next to you is clicking and snoring, it works. But also like last night, our neighbours had a big old party. And once you put the fan on, you can kind of drown the noise out. So if you've got, you know, noise in the house or noise outside, get a fan. Okay, final one. Are separate bedrooms the death of a relationship? So this is fascinating, just to wrap up on this bit. The sleep therapist that did the research that in the article that I read said, no, sleep is vital and we are all entitled to and also we need to get a good night's sleep. And if, yes, we've touched on obviously different sleeping styles and this sort of thing, but there's also bigger things like flailing around, sleep fighting, shouting, talking, sleepwalking, all these kinds of things, which luckily we don't have any of those sorts of things, but it is a thing. then actually sleeping in separate rooms in order to get a good night's sleep is a relationship saver. However, we've also listened to different therapists and sleep counselors and sleep experts who said it is actually the death knell of a relationship, because sleeping together is a vital part of our humanity. We're tribal beings.
Well, it's that connection, isn't it? You know,
why is my clock going off?
Because you set a timer and you didn't turn it off.
Oh, okay. There we go. It's all fine. It's all fine. Okay.
So going back to that point, what they were talking about is if you have a particular busy period, or you just become a mum, for example, you know, and the other person in the relationship has to get up early, having that separate room enables the other person to get a good night's sleep so they can function throughout the day. Mm-hmm. But it's like it is a very short-term solution, because the power of connection is lost if you're sleeping in separate bedrooms over a long period of time. And that's where it's actually the death knell for relationships, mm-hmm. you know, because there is just so much in a relationship, sleeping connected comfortably next to the person that you love, as opposed to not. And I think that's where from that study point of view, short-term thing, yeah, long-term, no.
Yeah. Yeah, and just as a side note, obviously I'm no longer with the person who is the serial snorer, and I ended up sleeping in a separate room, but it was his behavior during the day, not his behavior at night. That's a whole other thing. So we've talked about going to bed, mm-hmm. we've talked about being in bed, mm-hmm. In terms of how we sleep. Now I want to finish on getting up, because this got me so excited when I read about this. No more snoozy lose. You know, there's, you know, this whole thing about if you want to be successful, if you want to conquer the world, I don't know why I put on that voice, you need to get up at 5 a.m. You need to get up at 3:30, like Mark Wahlberg does and do his exercises then. Very strange. I think I've made my thoughts clear on that. Very strange. But you need to get up super early, and you also need to, as soon as the alarm gets up, you are hit the ground running, you're a winner, you're a go-getter, and all this sort of stuff. How I laughed myself when apparently there's a study published in the Journal of Sleep Research, so clearly they know their stuff. It's not like, you know, a magazine on something else. It's a magazine on this. Scientists have found those who hit snooze may actually be mentally sharper when they get up. In a study for Stockholm University, it was only 31 people. Okay, we'll brush over that. Set an alarm for 30 minutes before they needed to wake up and hit snooze 3 times. They were tested on their memory, simple math tests, and a confusing mental task, and did better in 3 out of 4 tests after hitting snooze.
Huh. Well, 2 things on that. One, I will say that most surveys are done on actually small amounts of people.
Okay.
Because as it actually grows, the amount of people, the test results don't actually change. So there's a mean number where they go, right, okay, with that number, then the result would be exponential. Is that the correct word?
Is it mean or median?
So one of those two.
Okay.
So, but it gets to that point where it doesn't then matter.
Okay.
Whether it's 3,100 or something like that. But also, I know why you put that voice on, because years ago we would listen to the same people going, get up at this time, smash it, do an extra hour, you know.
And what happened to me?
You crashed. But most people crash because, again, science now says the importance of sleeping, circadian rhythm, when you go to bed, when you wake up, right? The same sleep pattern every night, bedtime, wake up time. So important. If you don't, like, for example, you get up at, say, 6 every morning, Monday to Friday, then at the weekend you get up at 8 and you wonder why you're so tired at the weekend, but you've had more sleep. It is essentially jet lag. It's like you've moved to a different time zone. You know, your body doesn't know that you haven't traveled, but you've broken your circadian rhythm. So that's why they suggest that you should sleep the same pattern throughout the week. But that snoozing is something that I never used to do. I was up at 5 just with the job that I had, and I would wake up before my alarm went off and turn it off, and I was out straight away. But as we progress through midlife, you know, we do, everything changes. What got you here won't get you there, that sort of thing. And for me now, having a snooze, we set our alarm 10, 20 minutes before we have to get up anyway, and we snooze, and we also just sometimes lay there before we dive out of bed. And with those days, I think it seems funny. Maybe it's intentional snoozing, that you're going, oh, I'm just going to lay here for 15, 20 minutes, whatever, and just get myself ready for the day. You know, I get up or you get up, we open the curtain so there's light coming in and bits and pieces. There's movement, and then we go back and snooze for a bit. I think by doing that, actually, I certainly feel better throughout the day. And it's, I suppose it's just maybe listening to your body. Because there's some days you will dive out of bed, and other days you're just like, I need a little bit more.
I think that the word there that is so important is intentional, because I like the idea, and I've always done this. I set my alarm for earlier than I need to, so that I factor in the snooze time. I think the problem with hitting snooze is when, say, if you need to get up at 7, the alarm goes off at 7 and you hit snooze till 20 past, but then you're always trying to catch your tail for the rest of the day. You never quite catch up with yourself. But if you set it for 22, then actually you've factored in that slow waking up time. And obviously when it's winter time, it doesn't work quite as well with the curtains opening, but when the days are slightly longer, it's actually lovely to just kind of get out of bed half awake, open the curtains, open the window, let some fresh air in, and then just let the natural light help you come to. And again, science has proven that if you can get daylight actually into your eyeballs in the first few minutes of wakening, then it helps you for the rest of your day. And I like coming to and thinking about what I've got to do for the day, sort of planning ahead, and then getting up and doing it. I find obviously it depends. If I've got something that, if I've got a job on, I need to get up and get out the door. I have a different energy that sort of day. I have a lot more adrenaline, I suppose. But I think it's good for us.
I think what you're saying here, right, and I think the people listening to this need to just feel comfort that if you are snoozing, it's fine. But if you're setting your alarm too late,
yeah, just
and you're
earlier.
Snoozing, and then you're starting your day off in a bad way, that's not right. So don't feel guilty about snoozing, but just get it the right way around.
And go to bed early and be prepared. You know, your best day starts the night before. And for me, if I know I've prepped for the following day, I lay my clothes out the night before. I always lay my gym gear out the night before. I actually put it on the laundry basket in the bathroom. So literally when I kind of stagger in, you know, to go to the loo when you first get up, my gym clothes are right there. And before I know it, I'm sort of standing, brushing my teeth, wearing my gym gear, not even fully awake yet. And then I know I'm ready to go.
Well, so there's a lot of science around taking as many decisions away from a moment as you can. So all those decisions like, shall I go to the gym? What shall I have for breakfast? What time shall I leave for the house? If you're making that in the moment, it's harder to make that right decision. You put yourself under pressure. You're starting your day off wrong. If you already made those decisions the night before, right, I lay my gym clothes out. I even know what workout I'm going to do, what time I'm going to get there. I'll get back. I'll get that train. I'll grab that breakfast. Then all of a sudden you go onto a beautiful autopilot the next day because all that decision's been made. So it's a real lovely way of actually doing it. There's a real benefit of planning your morning the night before.
Do you know what's so interesting is we've come full circle, because actually what you've done is you've taken the sting out of the morning when you're not thinking clearly, because you never make your best decisions when you're not thinking clearly. So you've prepared and done it all the night before. So in the same way as you're not very good at resolving an argument when you're not thinking clearly and you're tired, it's the same thing. It all comes down to make your decisions when you've got a clear head. I think that worked really well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's all about getting a good night's sleep.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed that. I think we've all learned something. Everyone's learned a little bit more about us than maybe they needed to.
It's what it's all about, right?
It is what it's all about. Everyone now knows that I snore and you click. It's a match made in heaven. There we are. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue to attempt to master midlife.
Z
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.